I'm here with Jennifer Walsh, again as part of Love Live Music Day. Jenny, can you tell me what you were involved in just now?
Just now there was a screening of my opera that I wrote for Barbie Dolls, so we often call it the Barbie Opera. It's called XXX Live Nude Girls.
And can you explain, I know this is audio and it's very hard to kind of get the idea across in such a short space of time, because you gave a really, really good introduction to the opera before it was screened. But could you describe in let's say half a minute what it's about and how it came about?
I had the idea for the opera a long time ago, after I was reading about marionette operas, and I liked this idea of that you could cut the budget for an opera by using puppets or marionettes instead of using live singers. And also it meant that the whole mechanism by which you produce an opera was a lot cheaper, rather than having to wait on an opera house to commission you and millions of euros being involved. And I put the idea to Anton Lankrusevich from Apartment House, and he really liked it, so he gave me a commission. And my original idea right from the get-go was to have a Barbie house in the centre of the stage, to have two puppeteers moving the dolls, to have two video cameras tracking what the puppeteers were doing, and then to have the musicians and the singers sprinkled around the stage.
Very good. So this is your first opera, and it was written in, was it 2002, 2003?
2003, yes.
So it's you know, relatively speaking, it's quite an old work at this stage.
Yes.
And how does it how does it feel for you as a composer to have written something like this that still has a life ahead of it, or in effect a kind of a future without you in terms of, you know, future performances?
I mean, of course it's great. It's quite strange to see the piece again and again, because there's been performances of it almost every year since 2003, all over the world in different contexts. And then 2 years ago, Mir Records released it on DVD, so that's given it another life, in that now there's screenings of it. There's been screenings in Florence and in New York and here and other places. And so that gives it another lease of life. And then there's some people who only know the opera through the DVD rather than through having seen it live. And I mean, I'm very glad, because I realised I was slightly naive, in that I decided to write the Barbie opera using Barbie dolls, and it wasn't until after the premiere that all of a sudden the publicity went through the roof, and everybody was interested in it because it was Barbie dolls. And I'm glad that I didn't write it hoping to get publicity. I'm glad that it happened, just that the publicity happened like that. But after the premiere, there was an article about it in The Guardian, and that was linked all over the internet. And so the next thing I had, you know, the largest newspaper in South America phoning me up wanting an interview, you know, things like this. And so the piece just, it exploded in terms of PR. And I know that was because it was Barbie dolls, and we were just glad that Mattel never came with a lawsuit to us. Because I had researched that before I wrote the opera, to make sure there was legal precedence that we could use the dolls in an artistic way and things like this. So it's quite strange, because it is something that I still can see the same decisions and think I would have made that decision today. That decision there in the opera. And then, of course, there's things that after 8 years you're going to say, I sort of might change that, but of course you're not going to change it, because it's set in stone. But it's also wonderful to see the piece, to see it again and again, because it doesn't really date. It stays like I could have written it this year, like stylistically for me anyway. So it doesn't have something which earmarks it at a specific point in time, other than, I suppose, the early 21st century.
And just briefly about your current work, because obviously between the writing and the performance of that opera, you've done so much, and you mentioned in the talk in your introduction to the screening that you're currently on your fifth opera.
Yeah, it's a bit excessive. No, I mean, for me, I'm very, there's a John Cage quote that I come back to again and again and again, and it's from the experimental music essay In Silence, where he says, what next, theatre, because we have eyes as well as ears. And so for me, even if it's a string quartet on stage, it's a theatrical, it's a visual experience as much as an aural or sonic experience. And so for me, that's really central to my work, and it's something that I'm very, very interested in. And so for me, it's like all my pieces are theatrical in some way, or visual in some way. And so I'm glad. I mean, I said in the talk that after I finished the Barbie opera, it almost killed me. It was so much work. You know, I said to myself, I'm never writing an opera ever again. And within 6 months, I'd agreed to a commission for another opera. And then after about 6 months after that opera, I'd written another one. Because I think that opera is something, it's you actually have a dialogue with the form. For me, it's not just you write your opera. It's that you write an opera, and then there's issues that you need to resolve or interrogate or just play around with. And the next opera sees you do that. And then it's a dialogue that keeps developing, because it's a very... I mean, my stuff would be much closer, I suppose, to sort of experimental theatre practice, you know, than straightforward opera practice, where a lot of the time the theatrical direction is quite straightforward. You know, so I'm much more interested in I want the singers to... I mean, in my most recent opera that was done in New York last year, the singers were chopping up vegetables, they were chopping up herbs, and they were zesting fruit throughout the audience, through one half of the audience, so one half of the audience had this specific, you know, olfactory experience, you know, and the group that commissioned the opera, it was called The Geometry, that was done last year, or Object Collection, which are a New York-based sort of music theatre group, rather than, and they do operas every single year, you know, and they're really committed to that, but they also have connections with people like Richard Foreman and the Ontological Theatre, the Hysterical Ontological Theatre in New York, so very much aware of that sort of experimental theatre, avant-garde theatre practice. So for me, it's important. I think young composers, they sort of feel like they have to write their opera, and I feel like, no, you just need to keep writing them, because you need to keep investigating the form and seeing what it's capable of, and pushing the boundaries, you know. In, I know that sounds terribly cliched, but it's just, you only learn what people can do on stage, what bodies can do, when you try it out, and then you need to try it out again and make them do different things.
So you know, I suppose what you're saying is you're doing it. A lot of composers would maybe hold back and see this opera, writing an opera almost as a kind of a roadblock, you know, in terms of something that they have to overcome. But you're basically...
I think composers feel, especially when you're, you know, when you're at college, and I don't know, maybe it's slightly different now, but I certainly know a lot of young composers or student composers really feel that, you know, they need to write an orchestral piece and they need to write an opera, and those are two big sort of landmark, rather than roadblock, I'd say they're landmark pieces that they have to write to be taken seriously as a composer, that you have to have your orchestral piece under your belt, you have to have your opera, you know, under your belt. And sometimes I see it in that I'm sort of confused a little bit, in that I see composers who don't really seem to be that interested in theatre, and they're like, I need to write an opera. And I'm thinking, but you're not that interested in theatre, so why bother? And I know it's because they really feel that there's this, you know, imposition to do with genre. And I know, because I felt it. Like, I've certainly felt that. And when I was a student, I felt it quite acutely. And whereas I sort of feel like, for me, I'm glad that I've written quite a few, because now I don't feel like, oh God, it's my opera with capital O, and I have to sort of express everything that I know and think about theatre in this one piece. And instead, I can investigate different things in different pieces and learn from that, and then sort of push forward to the next one, you know. And so and I don't want to know what I'm going to be doing 20 years down the line. Like, that's the excitement, is just to see what'll be happening. When I look back in retrospect, I'm sure it'll be a clear path, but now I'm not sure exactly, you know, what's going to happen. So that's what's interesting.
So finally, tell me about what you have, like, coming up in the next number of months, what, you know, as well as your fifth opera that you're in the middle of or finished?
Oh, just in the planning stages right now.
Okay.
So, yeah.
What are the pieces of performances, new works you have coming up?
I'm involved in a project with Olaf Nicolai, who's a visual artist, in the Munich Pinakothek, where he's commissioned different composers, and we all have to write songs to do with current events. And so, which is very strange for me. And so I wrote a song with some text from Julian Assange, the WikiLeaks guy, from his online dating profile, and from Kanye West's Twitter feed. And so that was fun. So he's doing this project where, for a whole year, one Sunday a month, the Neue Vokalsolisten in Stuttgart, which are a group that I've worked with an awful lot, they'll sort of manifest in the Munich Pinakothek and sing these songs, and there'll be little booklets passed out about all the different things. So I'm working on on that. I'm writing a piece for the Donaueschingen Festival in November in Germany for the Neue Vokalsolist in Stuttgart as well. And I have concerts coming up in my, I work a lot with Tony Conrad. We improvise together. So we're playing the All Tomorrow's Parties Festival in May. So it's the only time we ever get to say our names. We'll be on a poster with Big Boy from Outkast, which makes us seem far hipper than we are. So, so lots and lots of stuff, you know, very, very busy.
Okay. Well, I know you've spoken an awful lot both before and after the screening and now. So thanks very much, Jenny,
for
the time.
Thank you very much for having me.
Best of luck.